Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by our guest speaker. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
But we've got something even better. I know it's hard for you to imagine something better than listening to me preach. But we have something even better this morning because we have someone who will always, she used to be a part of this family here by actually being here in the church. She's always going to be a part of this family, I think, as long as this church exists. But we have, some of you will not know this lady. You're going to get to know her right now. Her name is Emmalyn Hart. And come on up, Em. So I'm going to leave this lovely lady to tell you about her, those of you that don't know her, and those of you that do are just so glad to have you here. Okay, we love you.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm actually having a pretty emotional reaction this morning to being here. It's been a long time, and it's been too long, and it's all flooding back in this moment, and I've honestly waited a long time and prayed a lot and imagine this. I imagine things how they'll play out, and I have imagined this day. It's a super significant day because I'm able to bring my daughter with me, which I haven't been able to do in the 9 years that she's been with me, and I know you all have prayed so much for that, so it's really special. And because let's see, where should I start? Yeah, I did. I came up to Portland almost 16 years ago, and I was struggling a bit. I had a plan, and the Lord was not doing my plan, and I was struggling, and I got a bit disconnected from Him. Not fully, but I was disappointed, and I heard very clearly from the Lord to come to this church. I don't know if I've really told you that before, but my sister was living here and part of this church, and she always spoke about it in such an amazing way. And I thought, I don't know that. I don't know what that's like to be part of a church family like that, to have that passion and that commitment. And He said, she'll invite you, because we had a relationship, but not a really good relationship. And He said, she'll invite you, and you'll know that you're supposed to go. And one day she called me and said, I think you should come up to Portland and live with me and get involved in this church. So I did. And that started my short 3 years here, but it was a crucial season in preparing me to go to Mozambique, which is what I had been wanting to do and feeling like, why isn't this happening? So yeah, that was 16 years ago, and I had 3 years here. And I was launched from here and prepared. I think everything I needed to go, I mostly got from this house and from this family. And you have continued to support me and sustain me, and for that I'm just so thankful. Because I see so many new faces, I'm excited to get to know you, and I'm excited to now be able to be here more often. I think it's been 5 or 6 years, I don't know if you remember, since I've been here on a Sunday morning. But so I thought I'd give a little overview of what I do, who I work with, what I've been doing for the past 12 years, and then catch you up on what's been more recent. So I live in Pemba, Mozambique. It's in the north, very close to the Tanzanian border. And I work with Iris Global. Iris Global is a missions organization that started about 23, 24 years ago by Heidi and Roland Baker. And Iris Global really started when they moved to Maputo, Mozambique, which is in the south, and opened a children's home. And after a few years, they moved up north, and the organization grew within Mozambique. But in the past 15 years, I would say, well, 13 years since they started having mission schools and inviting people to come to Pemba, and there's a 12, 10-week school on cross-cultural missions, a lot of those students began going out and starting their own works with IRIS. So we've grown from the three locations in Mozambique, which is now six or seven, to about 70 locations around the world in 36 countries. I think we're in 36 countries. So it's really, really exploded. I moved to, actually, before I get into, before I speak, I wanted to share a quick video. This is an IRIS Global video. We have an amazing media department, but it gives you a really beautiful visual overview of IRIS. Most of the footage is taken from our Madagascar, Nepal, and Mozambique locations, but you'll just see in pictures what we do, and I'll explain a little bit about it, a little bit of it afterwards. So we'll go ahead. So a lot of those aerial shots and the African shots, that's where we are. That most of that was done in Pemba, where we live, by the beach, which is amazing. And the Bakers started IRIS with a heart to reach the lost in the poorest, among the poorest of the poor. And at that time, Roland was doing research somehow. I think it was before there was Google, so I'm not quite sure. I think he read a Time article, actually, that said Mozambique was the poorest country in the world. So that's where they set their hearts on and moved there. A lot of the ministry that we do is among the poorest of the poor. It's evangelism, taking care of children, planning churches, but we've grown into doing some more humanitarian work. You saw a well. We drill a lot of wells in Mozambique. We've started schools. We're providing education. We have hospitals or clinics around the world. We do a lot of community projects and work in communities, but it's all centered around the gospel and preaching the gospel and showing Jesus to anyone and everyone. So when I moved to Pemba in 2006, I went and worked in their baby house. I helped start their baby house at our children's center and started taking in, building that house and taking in babies and training educators, which is what we call our TIAs that live with the kids, to take care of infants. And at that time, most of our infants coming in were really sick. During those first couple years that I was doing that, I met Natalia. And that's how she entered my life. But over the years, I've actually had a few different jobs. I've transitioned quite a few times. I moved from just working in the baby house to then working in the whole children's center and running that for several years. And then around 2012, I transitioned into working in our communities. Iris Global was starting Stop for the One, which is our sponsorship program, and we wanted to do part of our sponsorships in the communities. We had been taking in kids for years, and that was working, and that was going well, but we wanted to keep families together at the same time. And we were finding that we were enabling families to just get rid of their children. So I switched to working out in the communities with several different villages in partnership with our churches that are in those communities, to empower families to keep their kids. Part of that was with food assistance, a lot of teaching and discipleship, some micro finance, helping them start businesses so they could have an income. But the heart was just to have kids stay in communities, kids stay with families. And I did that for a couple years, and then I transitioned from that into working with Stop for the One sponsorship out of our US office and overseeing the whole program. And then about two and a half years ago, as Iris was exploding, it had tripled in size in a few short years, and Heidi and Roland had been running it from running really the Pemba location, but which was our largest, but also overseeing the movement that was happening around the world as more and more people were joining Iris and wanting to start their own locations. They decided to put a leadership structure in place. So I was asked to be part of that senior leadership team, and I started working with four other vice presidents that were hired, and they also hired a COO who happened to be my little brother. And he came and joined Iris, and now he's my boss. It didn't start out very well, but it actually has gone incredibly well and been a real pleasure to be able to work with him. And the rest of that team. So when I took that position on, it really didn't look like much. I really didn't know what it would be. I had been asked to sort of oversee and be a voice of best practices for how Iris Global as a whole ministers to people, how we take care of children, how we take care of vulnerable. We do a lot of ministry also with women at risk. So just to kind of oversee those programs globally. Over the first year, it changed a lot into actually how we take care of our own family. What had been, what Iris had sort of created was a lot of autonomous locations. People were drawn to Iris for our values, for the way we ministered, our missiology, and so you were welcome to come in, and then you're sort of on your own. So my heart really, Lord really spoke to me about that and how to take care of the Iris family, how to actually create or develop an IRIS family. We use that term, anyone who's a part of IRIS, whether you're in Costa Rica or you're in China or you're in Mozambique, you're part of the IRIS family, but they're very disconnected and autonomous. So I asked the Bakers to get involved in working with our family. So for the past couple of years, I've been just creating what's known in the missions world as member care. There's a term for it, Wycliffe and the Assemblies of God and all huge missions organizations. They have a department called member care. I call it family care in IRIS. Member care seemed a little bit impersonal, but it's a team of people that I'm building to be available to our missionaries and to our leaders, to provide whatever support and resources they need to be able to thrive and be effective on the field. Missionaries, research has definitely been done in the past 20 years, but especially in the past few years, there's been a lot more research happening about how missionaries have a very stressful life compared to any other profession. And because of that, if they're not well prepared to go to the field, if they're not well cared for on the field, a lot of them leave burnout and not doing well and hurt. And some even that can lead to physical problems. So my heart was really to see that not happen at IRIS. So I really had the privilege the past couple of years to run with an amazing IRIS Global Leadership Team and be a part of how IRIS is growing and where it's going and what the Lord wants to see IRIS doing in the future. So it's really a privilege. I love it. I love my job. I get to travel quite a bit to our different locations to visit, support them. I also spend a lot of time doing leadership training development. A couple years ago, while I was in Pemba, I did my master's with Regent in organizational leadership, not really knowing how or why I would use that, but it's come in very handy as I'm working with our leaders on developing their ability to care for their teams, the importance of good leadership, and training new leaders coming into IRIS. So that's a little bit of what I've been doing. The past couple years, and I've been in Pemba this whole time, but having to travel maybe 3 or 4 times a year out of Pemba to different locations or to our office is in Redding, California. Over the past couple years, I've had a season of really difficult, a really difficult time, but also equally wonderful. As you know, or may not, I know you've been praying for Natalia and I for years, and that was getting more and more difficult, and I really started to lose hope in that ever happening. I knew that we would stay together, that I would be with her, but not having a legal adoption was starting to really wear me out. The last time I was here, I shared about my property. I have a house. Six years ago, I was given land and permission to build a home and make a permanent home in Pemba, which I really wanted to do, and I knew that the Lord had that for us, but just kept hitting roadblocks. And for 4 years, the construction stopped, and the house had been sitting and falling apart, essentially. So several things that I'd really believed were promises from the Lord were not happening after 6, 7, 8, 9 years. And I really hit a wall last year, feeling like this is never going to happen, and was upset and angry and really challenged the Lord, which is not in my nature to do. I don't have that sort of relationship with him where I get upset and angry and say, you're not doing what you said you would do, and I did at that point. But shortly after that, the doors just flew open for everything. Actually, I have a couple pictures. Maybe now I should show those while I'm describing these events. This is our Pemba base. That's a aerial shot from our IRIS plane of the Pemba base, and that's where we've lived for the past 10 years or 11 years, right there in the middle. And then the next one, it's harder to see, but this is our property about 15 minutes outside of Pemba. Those four buildings are the start of our Iris University. The education is a huge part of Heidi and Roland's heart, and believe how strongly how education can break the cycle of poverty. In our area, many kids are not in school because they can't afford it. They don't really have enough schools. We have a school on our base that 3,500 community children go to every day, and it's free. Government school costs some money, so and many families aren't able to send their kids. But this is the start of our university, and it's really hard to see, but up in the right, top right-hand corner is where my, over to the left, yeah, that's our house. There it is, next to the Iris University in an amazing location. But that's where we live. And then to the right of that is where we've been living for the past year, renting a little cottage. We can go to the next slide or photo. There's a closer shot of the house under construction. So in December, I was able to get licenses after waiting 4 years. I got construction licenses again and started building. So there it is, just after Christmas, after they had put the roof on. And just another shot of it more recently, doors and windows in. So when I go back, I'll keep working on it, and hopefully by the end of the year, we'll be able to live in it. And the next shot is of Natalia and I, and at court. This is a few moments after the judge granted our adoption. So, yeah, amen, amen. Looks better there. There's a series of reasons why the doors opened for that. I applied in 2009 for adoption and was denied because of a few factors out of my control. And the process from that, because I was denied at the provincial court, I would then have to go to the Supreme Court in the larger city in another province to appeal that. And I never pursued that. And then over the past 9 years have tried several times to open an adoption case at our city court. And it just wasn't working. I was not getting permission to do that repeatedly. Then a few years ago, this court opened, and this judge, who I really appreciate, it's a court for children. So he just sees cases that are 0 to 18 years old. And I had gone to him and asked to travel with Natalia a couple years ago. I had to do some work in Indonesia and Australia and asked permission for her to travel with me, and he granted that. And we also asked for her to go to the U.S., which he granted, but the U.S. wouldn't give her a visa, and they said they will never give her a visa at that embassy appointment until she's adopted, which was very disappointing. But in that meeting, he said, you have to adopt her. I can't believe you've lived with her all these years and you haven't adopted her. And I explained our situation. And he said, well, I'm the judge and I get to interpret the law. That's my job. So, but it still took another 2 years for us to be able to get back to court because of various misinformation I was getting, not being able to find a lawyer. And then last November, you can see the one in the bottom left corner, and the guy sitting next to him were new lawyers in town and friends of friends, and they believed in the possibility, which was half the battle, was finding someone who was willing to take the case and believed in its in what the Lord had said. And so they took it, and in late November we applied for the adoption, and before Christmas we had done our home visits. The judge, it's usually about an 8 or 9 month process, but he said, well, you've lived with her for 9 years, I've heard your story. I won't worry about doing the regular home visits. So court closed for 2.5 months for Christmas break, and then when they were convened back in March, he called Natalia to question her. He never interviewed me. And then the man in the front left is her father, her biological father, and he called her to ask, the judge called him to ask permission for the adoption, and he agreed to it. So May 14th, which was this day, he read the sentence of our adoption. So in Mozambique, I think it's a really beautiful process. They cancel the original birth certificate and rewrite a whole new one. So she has a new birth certificate that says Natalia Joy Hart with my name on it and my parents' name on it. And immediately, or within about 3 weeks, we flew down to Maputo to get her new documents, a new passport, apply the U.S. Embassy for a visa, which they granted so easily. And then we took off on a trip. So for the next year, we're sort of enjoying a season of freedom, a time to see my family, be with our family. And because she can be with me, I'm not confined to those, our previous circumstances. We are just taking almost a sabbatical year. I'm still working in Reading, but it feels like a sabbatical year from Pemba. We'll be going back and forth. We'll be visiting a few locations. Part of my job is organizing our family, what we call family gatherings. So every other year we have regional gatherings. So one in Asia, one in Africa, one in America, or one in South America, Asia, Africa, and I'm forgetting the fourth one. Asia, Africa, the US, we'll do one in South America, Brazil. So I have four gatherings to plan and host and travel to those different locations to do them. So we'll do that, but we're gonna spend the next 6 months mostly in Reading, working with it. It's a real pleasure for me to be able to work with the team. I've been for 2 years now doing that work remotely. So I'm excited to have some time in the office. And my parents, who live in Gloucester, Massachusetts, they've decided to move to Reading as well. So we're gonna be able to live with them for some time and just almost make up for lost time. I don't think it was lost. The Lord had a purpose in those 9 years, but we are just taking a season to enjoy being able to be family together. And then after that, I don't know what we're gonna do. I've thought about the idea of spending half our time in the US and half our time in Mozambique, but I'm not quite sure. So you could be praying for that, what the next year looks like and what the Lord would have us do after that. So that's my that's my story. Thank you. It's really good to be here, and I really want to thank you. I don't know if I have the adequate words, but I am a part of this church. I take that seriously, and I know if I've been distant for a few years, but it's really good to be here, and I'm so thankful for all that you do for us. You make possible through your prayer support, through financial support, through your encouragement and connection for us to have this life, for made possible for me to meet Natalia, to she's ducky, have a daughter too, and now to be able to bring her here is really such a pleasure. So thank you so much.
Right, so Chad, do you want to join us? We're going to pray. And we're going to pray for Emily and Natalia, but we're not going to put Natalia through the trauma of bringing her up here, okay? Not that you're traumatic to look at, just she's meeting a lot of new people all over the country. Can I just have, we're going to take, I know you've already given today, and I appreciate the way in which you've done that, but we want to take a love offering this morning for Emily and Natalia. So guys, can you just come up and distribute those baskets? And we're gonna just start praying for Emily while we do that, okay? So if you can just give those out, that would be great. So for those of you that up to this point have only seen pictures of Emmalyn and Natalia over on the missions board we have on the far left-hand side in the lobby, now you've actually got to meet her, and you'll get to meet them. Say hi after the service breaks up. And you have so much now that you can pray for Emmalyn, because we really do love her and support her. And it's just such a joy to have you here. So let's pray for you, can we? Yeah. Just join us as we pray for Emmalyn and Natalia this morning. Father, we thank you so much for Emmalyn. Father, thank you for the journey that she's on with you. Thank you for the way that you've proven yourself faithful. Thank you that you've been with her, Lord, even in times that have seemed very difficult and hard, where it didn't seem like promises that she sensed you'd given to her had come to fruition, and yet you continue to sustain her and keep her, and your promise in due season, in your time, came to fruition. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the joy of having her and Natalia here. Thank you for just the beauty of that adoption process, even though it was a long and hard, what Emmalyn just shared with us, Lord. It just touched all of our hearts. It's so emblematic of the way in which you've adopted us into your family, that we now have new origins, having been born of you through your Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless Emmalyn and Natalia in the days to come. Father, thank you for the responsibility that you've entrusted to her. Thank you that she has been a faithful steward over many years in different capacities that you have called her to serve in, Lord, with Iris. And we pray that you would continue to bless her, continue to strengthen her, continue to lead and guide her. Give her wisdom, Lord, in this position she has as Vice President of Community with Iris, and all of the things that she shared with us this morning that you've called her to do. Give her wisdom and understanding. And Father, may she continue to remain hungry for you and humble before you in all that it is that you've given her to do. We pray that you would bless this next year, Lord. And they have to travel at times, but it's also going to be a year, as she said, of sabbatical in a lot of ways, a time of reunion and just being together with her parents and her larger family. We pray that you would bless that time, Lord, and just pour out your favor upon them. So we commit her to you today. We thank you for all that you're doing in and through her life and Natalia's as well. We thank you for the ministry of Iris and pray that you would continue to bless it. They face a lot of significant challenges, Lord, and we pray that you would meet them in every area of need that they have. You've shown yourself faithful in the past. You are faithful in the present. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to be faithful to them in the future as they pursue all that you have placed in their hands to do. We commit them to you as well as a ministry. And Father, again, we present Emmalyn and Natalia to you this morning and pray that your grace and love and mercy would continue to surround them, rest upon them. And Lord, we look to your blessing on their lives now and in the days to come. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, let's stand this morning. We're going to